Welcome to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at katherinekerrigan.com and unlimitedenergynow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter so you can learn even more about how you can heal yourself naturally. Now, our guest today is the one and only Dr. Bernie Siegel. Dr. Bernie Siegel is the author of Love, Medicine, and Miracles and many other amazing books, New York Times bestselling books, all about healing. And you can find out more about Dr. Bernie Siegel and his wonderful work at BernieSiegelMD.com. Welcome, Bernie Siegel.
Thank you. A pleasure to be here. I have to tell you, it just as an aside for a minute, I was just thinking of the two of us, your beautiful hair, jewelry, makeup, and my shaved head with nothing, you know, but let me say this, though, what I learned later, I don't mean to distract you, but this was an important thing for me. I paint portraits and I painted one of myself in surgical garb, cap, mask, and gown. So you don't even know it's me. I mean, if you came into the house, you wouldn't know that's, you know, Bernie Siegel. And then I was reading Jung and others, and he said, the reason monks shave their head is to uncover their spirituality. It's a symbol. And I had called that painting the High Priest. And I literally put that sign up on it. And I thought, what are you doing? It was like somebody else did it. You know, I couldn't see any reason in it until a few years later, I read Jung. And so that painting now, I feel, represents a part of my life, the cover up time, where dealing with the pain of being a surgeon and people suffering and all the things you can't cure was really painful. And what changed my life, well, I changed it, but the words that changed it were a patient of mine. We were both at a meeting together and she said, "You're a nice guy. I feel better when I'm in the office with you, but I can't take you home with me. So I need to know how to live between office visits." Because I had said to her, "Why do you come to this meeting?" And that was her answer. So I went back to the office and said, "Okay, from now on, I'm going to help people live." And my partner, when I walked into the office on Monday, this was a weekend workshop, he screamed, "You're gone. You're gone." I said, "What the hell are you talking about?" He said, "You're not the same person you were on Friday. You're gone." And within a couple of years, I retired from surgery. I was gone and running groups and supporting people and doing all kinds of things to help them live. And, you know, I changed my life without knowing what I was doing, but it was all the feelings inside. Yeah.
Now, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Bernie, you are the author of many New York Times bestselling books. And as you mentioned, you were a cancer surgeon, and yet your books have helped many people live between office visits. And before we started recording, you mentioned, and this is so hilarious, that the only C you got in college was in creative writing.
My sense of humor, too, creates trouble for everybody, but they begin to enjoy me because I'm so crazy. But I wrote to my school when Love, Medicine, Miracles was number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And thanks to Oprah Winfrey and her show. And the school, you know, I thought they'd laugh and you know, get a kick out of me. But I got three or four pages of such intense writing by somebody at the college saying, we can't raise your grades after you graduate. It's against, you know, regulations and rules. And I felt so sorry for them. I said, you know, I meant this to be a joke and to have you smile and look at what it led to. But that's the sad part, again, about life. You know, some people get a kick out of it and others end up being miserable.
Now, Bernie, as of this recording today, you are 90 years old.
Yes.
As you think of your own aging process, because for so many people, aging means, you know, falling apart, having a lot of pain and being miserable. What has helped you the most to stay strong and healthy?
I don't think of myself that way. You know, it's like I'm always Bernie Siegel, not the 80, the 90, the whatever person. And until until this year, I was at age 90, did not take a single medication. A lot of, you know, vitamins and supplements and things. But after my wife died, that's of itself a mystical experience. I mean, I found her dead one morning. She had died in her sleep, and it literally broke my heart. Mm. So 9 months later, my heartbeat became irregular, and I fell in the bedroom, lost my balance, because I'm sure the heartbeat was irregular and the brain, you know, didn't get enough blood. And that led me to the hospital. And so now I take medications because, you know, to protect me from that. But just to say why it's mystical, first I'll tell you my birth date. I was born on 10/14. When I went to the hospital after, you know, related to my wife's death, I thought, let's see what numbers come up. And they put me in room 114. And I knew they're saying, you'll be okay. You know, we got a space for you. But 9 months after my wife died, I ended up having irregular heart rhythm and went to the emergency room. My wife was born on 9/9. As soon as I walked in the emergency room, a man in the room, I don't even know who it was, yelled, put him in room 9. And I said, oh, my wife's here, I'll be fine. The hospital room, which wasn't ready for a day, and then they said, we got it now, it was 819, which again adds up to 9/9. And then my wristband, I thought I kept it here on my desk, but the wristband that they put on me to identify me in the hospital, the numbers that identify Bernie Siegel are 8, which is a new beginning, and then 9, 9, 6, 6, and 3, 3. So all the numbers add up to 9s. And I loved showing that to people at the hospital to tell them my wife is still here. And they saw me as neurotic, but I couldn't help hold it up because every time you come in, you get a new wristband. And I'd say, look. And I know more mystical things have really happened since she died. So I know she's here. Even the clock in our bedroom, you know, the electric clock that has numbers. I mean, so often that you can't explain, I get a message, look at the clock, and I open my eyes and look, and it's always made up of 9s or an 11, which is the day we were married. I mean, you could say, well, it's just a lot of numbers, they'll add up. But no, every time I look at the clock, it doesn't say 9 or 11, or the day I was born was a 14. But when I get the message, like from my wife, something comes into my head, then I look, oh, and I feel good because of the combination of numbers.
Now, Bernie Siegel, I'm 63. I'll be 64 next month. And at a certain point, as human beings, we sort of become aware of our own mortality and we start thinking about this whole aging process. Many of us in natural healing believe in eating well, taking supplements. You mentioned that up until recently, you never took any drugs and exercising regularly. As you think back over your lifetime of treating patients as a cancer doctor, which lifestyle strategies do you observe are most helpful for maintaining a healthy mind and body?
Well, several things. I mean, a lot of it goes back to parenting. Harvard students were asked in a study many years ago, did your parents love you? If they said no, 95% had suffered a major illness by middle age. Those who said yes, 24%. And I know damn well that a big part of why I'm still walking around with my parents, because the things they told me were the things that cancer patients taught me to do too. See, what should I do? Do what makes you happy. What am I gonna do? Everything's going wrong. God is redirecting you. Something good will come of this. And the last was that we're here to help other people. So I was frustrated as a kid because I always felt my parents aren't helping me. You know, I got a problem and they tell me, do what makes you happy. I got to decide. But I realized with time, they were my therapists teaching me how to handle it myself. And the other was about self-love. So if you haven't been loved by your parents, how do you treat yourself? But when you've grown up with love, you take care of yourself. And love, even from animals. Doctors have done studies where, you know, people with a certain illness, their mortality rate was lower if there was a dog in the house than if there was no dog in the house. And again, it's that relationship and it changes you chemically. And then one lady who said it so well, because see, when I would say to people, do what makes you happy. What does that mean? You're a lawyer. You never wanted to be a lawyer, but your parents wanted you to be a lawyer. I mean, Donald Trump is a prime example of this. He became who his parents wanted, so he had to be famous and rich and make them happy. And what happens when you have an illness that could kill you? This lawyer I knew closed his office and started playing his violin and got a job in an orchestra. Because as a kid, he wanted to be a violinist, a musician, but his parents couldn't be proud of a violinist. So he devoted his life to making them happy until he's told you don't have, you know, much life left. And he got a job in an orchestra and, of course, didn't die, you know, for many years. One of the simplest ones was a gentleman who went to Colorado to die in the mountains because it's so beautiful. When I didn't get a call for the funeral, which I told his relatives I wanted, I called up and he answered the phone. And this is like a couple of a year later, you know. And he said, it was so beautiful here, I forgot to die. And those are the things I've learned. And last but not least, to summarize it for everybody, you have polio as a child. You don't like what's happened to your body your whole life. And then you get another neurological disease and they tell you you're going to die. And she said, I didn't want to die not liking my own body. So I laid down naked in front of a mirror every day and started loving myself. She went into complete remission and the disease gone. She didn't die. And I learned to accept that from patients. I mean, they all keep popping into my head, a landscaper, cancer of the stomach. I said, you need more treatment after surgery. You still have cancer cells inside you. He said, no, you forgot something. What'd I forget? I want to go home and make the world beautiful because it was springtime, he said. So when I die, I leave a beautiful world. And he left, never came back to the office. 6 years later, the nurse handed me his chart in the office. I said, "He's dead. What are you giving me this for?" "Bernie, open the door." So I opened the door to the examining room, and there sat John. "Hi, I have a hernia from lifting boulders in my landscape business. I came to have you fix it." He lived into his 90s and became one of my teachers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I spoke at his 70th wedding anniversary with his wife. To tell people what an incredible guy he was, because he taught me how beautiful the world was. You know what I mean? You could walk in the woods with John and complain about the weeds and the things in your way, and John would be saying, "Look at how pretty that is. Look at how beautiful that little thing is. Look at that." So there were no weeds anymore, if you know what I mean. They were all pretty little things. Yeah.
So
and
great.
When you live that way, it's scientific, it's chemical. We're changing our body. And I really say to everybody, love your body. Take some time before you go to bed at night to just picture love filling your heart and being pumped out to your body. And you'll feel different. And I mean it. That and one other simple little mechanism. When you have a problem in your life, I like saying to people, what word would you use to describe your problem? And then I say, what else in your life fits that word? And you watch people's eyes pop open, because they know what they need to eliminate. See, pressure could be severe pain, and you're being admitted to the hospital until Dr. Siegel makes you realize it's your marriage. And this same lady said, "I'm going home," because she was supposed to be admitted to the hospital, and she went home to deal with her marriage. Failure. Well, my body failed. I have cancer. That's not my question. Oh, my parents committed suicide when I was a child. I must have been a failure as a child. So all those things, and I do it for myself. You know, what words pop up? Yeah, I was having dizzy spells years ago, vertigo. And I got out of bed and I said, "Dumbbell, do what you tell your patients to do. What's this, you know, like? What do you describe?" "Oh, the world is spinning around." And as soon as I said that, I realized you are traveling literally around the world, giving lectures, speaking. You need a rest. What is your body saying? "I don't want you to get out of bed, so I'll make you dizzy." It was a beautiful connection for me and just made it so real. So, yeah, I changed my life and schedule and, you know, made it more organized and easier, and then the vertigo disappears.
Great information. And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. And we'll be right back with the one and only beloved Dr. Bernie Siegel.
Radio. UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Bernie,
yes.
In traditional medicine, They're typically doctors who treat the physical body, and there are other doctors who treat the mind. In your experience, how are the body and mind linked?
I'm going to say I don't agree with you. They don't even treat the body or the mind. They treat a disease. And how do I know that? I was talking to about 90 medical students one day. I said, draw yourself working as a doctor. Every single one of them drew themselves in a picture, and 98% of them were, I'm sitting behind a desk with a diploma on the wall and no patient in the room. And that blew my mind. I mean, one drew only instruments and no people at all, and one drew himself handing a lady in a wheelchair a tissue. And I'd say that's the only doctor in the whole class. And I haven't had any medical schools do this for me yet, but I keep saying to them, when people apply to your school, say, don't just fill out the application, but send us a drawing of yourself working as a doctor. See? Then they could say to those students, you're not a doctor. You know, you're not treating people. So if you want to come here, you have to change your attitude. And that impressed me so. And it's part of why I work with drawings a great deal, because that shows the truth within people. So when you say draw your disease, your treatment, draw your home and family, yourself at work, all these things play a part in your health. We have more illnesses on Monday morning than any other day of the week, you know? And you'd say, why? It's how people feel about their work. So you get sick, you don't go to work, or you commit suicide or something. But Monday is a tragic day. And we need to know, again, what's going on? Why are you doing this? And we can do it with love. I have to tell you, that's something that impressed me too, because I eventually called it reparenting, or being the bonus dad, or you could be a bonus mom or chosen mom or dad, because I've had people get in touch with me to help them commit suicide. And they're young people usually who are being abused by parents, all kinds of things. And I would say, no, I'm not going to help you commit suicide. I love you. I'll be your father. And that was something came to me from one of my patients, because one day in the office, she yelled at me, you're my CD. I said, what are you talking about? I'm a CD. She said, you're my chosen dad. Yeah. And then I became a bonus dad for some young ladies, you know, and it was just fun to send cards up and back and letters, knowing yourself as a bonus or chosen. And those people are alive today, you know, despite the abuse that they had. So I keep saying, tell people I love you. When they're raising hell, mad at you, just say, I love you, and mean it. And it's hard for me to not bring up actual examples. We're on Cape Cod, summertime, horrible traffic. And a young man in the car behind us with his girlfriend, but he was screaming and cursing about the traffic. And it was like it was my fault, if you know what I mean. He's yelling at the car in front of him, screaming. And I stopped at the corner and said to the police, would you please tell him to be quiet? And the cop who was directing traffic said, that's not my job. I couldn't believe a cop would say something like that, because this kid was disturbing the peace. I got out of my car with our kids yelling, he can have a gun, Dad, don't do that. And I went over to his car. The driver's window was halfway down. I said, I want to tell you something. I love you. I'm sorry your parents don't. He made a U-turn and drove away in complete silence. And I'm sure he went home to talk to his parents. And, you know, the power of those words, it even impressed me. I mean, I mentioned that in one of my books, 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, and he's one of the examples. So I say to people, if you need a weapon, say, I love you. And there are stories from concentration camps, too, where the Jewish prisoners were being put into a line to go to the gas chamber. And one said to the guard, I love you. Ich liebe dich. And the guard sent him to another line that was a work camp. So don't be afraid to say, I love you to people. It's a powerful weapon that helps heal, not wound or hurt people.
Now, Bernie Siegel, I know that you lost your wife of many years in 2018. How have you managed to handle your grief? And what advice can you offer to others who are grieving the loss of a loved one?
Well, I mean, I feel she's still here. Okay. So I don't stop talking to her or finding numbers on a clock. And one that was totally mystical. We were married on the 11th. And when I was fixing the bed one morning, a few months after she died, I found so many dimes and pennies under the mattress and sheets. I cannot explain how that would get there. I wouldn't have had that in my pocket and laid down on the bed and had them fall out. They were in places they couldn't have been, you know, by accident. And that mystical stuff, yeah, I believe in it. That we don't die is a way I put it. Our consciousness, our energy, those stay with us. We don't have bodies anymore, but we do have the ability to affect life and communicate in a way with symbols. And so I know my wife is still here. Call it her spirit, whatever you want. But I talk to her, she's with me, and I feel her presence. And I painted a portrait of her. So I've got that looking at me in the living room. And don't mind talking to a painting in a sense, because it gives me a good feeling that she's listening to me.
Now you have 5 adult children. What has being a parent taught you about health and healing?
A lot. Gotta tell you one part, humor is enormously important, as is love. If you have those two things in your life, you'll live a longer, healthier life. And my wife, really, I mean, she did stand up one-liners when I would give a lecture. We'd give people a break. She'd get up for 10 or 15 minutes like a Henny Youngman, you know, and do these things. You know, I mean, like a simple line where she had 10 warning signs, not about cancer, about life. The first one was, your husband calls and says he'd like to have dinner out tonight, so you leave a sandwich on the front porch, right? You put your bra on backwards and it fits better. You know, and it goes on like that. And every night she'd have people laughing. And one, I always say for women, it's hard for me not to tell you these. I was very angry one day in our kitchen, yelling and I don't know what it was that went on, but I was very upset about what was done. And she looked at me and said, you're so handsome when you're angry. Well, I wasn't angry anymore. I was smiling. And that's the kind of person she was. So, you know, that part is still with me. And I can still hear her talking to me and feeling that. And in a sense, well, I forgot who said that. Love is immortal and makes all things immortal, while hate dies every minute. I can't remember which author said that, but I'd say that's the truth, that the love stays. So people die, but it stays. So I'm trying to live up to her expectations and make her proud of me by continuing to help people and live in our home, because it's been so hard. I just can't leave it. You know, there's so much of the love in our lives here. And one more bit of humor from her. We had three boys first. And I told her, I want a daughter to take care of me when I get old. And she said, no, I'm not going through another pregnancy. I kept after her. And finally, one day she said, all right, I'll try one more time. And she became pregnant. Towards the end of the pregnancy, the obstetrician said to her, I need to do an X-ray. You're going to have twins. And my wife turned to me and said, if it's two more boys, I'm not coming home from the hospital. That's her humor, you know? And then the other was, they were due right around Christmas time. She said, I am not going to be in the hospital on Christmas. And I knew she wouldn't be. See, that's where the mind-body stuff comes in. When did she have the twins? The day after Christmas. When all the fun was still going on in the hospital. Yeah, we named our daughter. Oh, and then thank God the obstetrician said, what a gentleman. He let his sister out first. So we named the girl Carol Lynn because there were so many carols being played in the hospital. So that's her. But, you know, all those things that begin to work out in your life. And I'd say you got to keep that sense of humor. What are you here for? And to love yourself. You can reparent yourself, too. You know, I mean, you could have had abusive parents. And I think, yes, it upsets them if you'd said, I love you, and then love yourself. Love is a weapon. And I mean that, you know, in a real sense, because a lot of people don't know how to handle it. So when you say, I love you, it's like, what do I do now? Because they're used to fighting and bitterness and resentment and all those things. Yeah.
And with that, let's take another break from and hear from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. And we'll be right back with the one and only Dr. Bernie Siegel.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks. Dig for victory.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So, Dr. Bernie Siegel, you have used positive imagery to help people heal. So you talk about having people draw pictures of themselves.
Yeah, that was an amazing, as I said, part of why I became a surgeon, I wanted to use my hands because I was an artist and I didn't know what profession to choose. But the thing that woke me up was when I was in my cover-up time in pain as a doctor, I went to an Elizabeth Kubler-Ross workshop. And she said to me, Bernie, That's her Swiss accent. Barney, draw a picture for me. So I drew an outdoor scene. I gave it to her. She said, why is eight important to you? I said, what are you asking me that for? You drew eight trees. And there was a reason for that. Actually, I had been doing this new work for 8 months. What are you covering up? Remember what I said to you about that? What are you covering up? I said, what are you talking about? She said, Bernie, you used a white crayon on a white piece of paper. You didn't need it. You added a layer. What are you covering up? By the time she was through with me, it was like I was another person. I draw this crazy little picture on a, you know, piece of typing paper, and she knows my whole life and what I need to do and everything else. So what did I do? And again, this is not something they teach you in medical school. Maybe if you're going to be an art therapist or a psychiatrist, they might. But I went back to the hospital with crayons. See, I didn't know anything, but I figured, what the hell? I got patients. I'll give them crayons. Ask them to draw a picture. And boy, oh boy, did I learn. You know, like for instance, red is a passion color, emotion. Black, grief and despair. Purple is spiritual. And literally, one child, I have her drawing here. While she was in the hospital, and the mother was still struggling to have her cured and dragging her everywhere, I had said to the mother, stop. Take her home and love her. You know, I mean, what are you putting your kid through? And the daughter drew a picture of a purple balloon with her name in it, Amber. And I knew she's ready to go. The balloon will take her up to heaven. I showed it to her mother. I said, take her home from the hospital and love her. And the mother, when she saw that picture, she agreed. I said, there's one thing I can't explain. There are eight pretty flowers in the picture. I don't know what they mean. I got a phone call 8 days later. Bernie, today is my birthday. Amber woke up and said, Mom, I'm dying today as a gift to free you from all your trouble. And the mother brought me that drawing as a gift. But what a difference it made to her and her life. You know, and as a matter of fact, one of the other things, because I said to Amber, who's this child in the picture that doesn't look happy? That's not me. That's the kid in the next room crying. You see how interesting it is to have those kinds of symbols and even this little pipsqueak, you know, who changes colors and symbols and everything else. But the children know it. There's a book called The Secret World of Drawings. I forgot the author, but these were drawings by children. See, they're not worried about being judged. I did a lot of pediatric surgery because I love taking care of the kids. But when you say to an adult, draw a picture, oh, I'm not an artist. I'm trying to help you. Stop worrying about being an artist. Yeah. And the symbol in Solzhenitsyn's book, Cancer Ward, is the symbol for self-induced healing is a rainbow-colored butterfly. Mm. Your life is in order, a rainbow. The butterfly is this transformation from the cocoon, busting out, spreading your wings. All those things are so meaningful. But yet, you see, doctors talk about spontaneous remissions. Why don't they say to the patient, how come you didn't die when you were supposed to? Then you'd find out it's self-induced healing. See, I moved. I got a new job. You know, I did this, I did that. And that's the part that impressed me. When the creative people are expressing themselves, you see the truth. And so I love to say, I use the drawings even in the emergency room. Well, let me give you this one more example. Because I would say to bring crayons with me, and I'd say to patients, well, we're waiting for your lab work, draw a picture. And believe me, I knew who had appendicitis and who didn't, you know, who just had a stomach ache. But after they thought I was crazy, the other doctors in the hospital really were fascinated. So one of the emergency room doctors literally made up a coloring book for kids, you know, like 6 or 7 pages. And the first page said, you'll meet, oh, this is about going to the operating room. You'll meet someone wearing an outfit that looks like green pajamas. He's an anesthesiologist. And I come into the emergency room just before surgery. We could take him up, he had appendicitis, to the operating room. And I said to the anesthesiologist, wait a minute. He said, what is it? He drew you in purple. That could mean he's going to die on the operating table, a reaction to anesthetic agents. And the anesthesiologist said to me, Bernie, you're right, and so is he. And this is a 7-year-old. Mm. I said, what do you mean he's right? He said, his mother has a genetic defect and a form of muscular dystrophy. And the boy could have a reaction to muscle relaxants that could lead to his death.
Whoa.
Now, boy, did that change people in the emergency room.
Now, Bernie Siegel, many people suffer from anxiety and depression and feel stuck because they don't know how to get out of their bad mood. How can people who have suffered from anxiety and depression change their mental outlook for the better? What is your advice?
Well, one thing would be laugh for no reason at all. I mean, just every hour or two, just laugh and you'll feel better. The other is that you really have to look at your life. Why are you full of anxiety? Why are you depressed? You know, I don't like my life. Well, change it. Okay? You know, you can get a divorce. You can change your job. I always say there's 2 solutions. Change your attitude or change your life. And when that happens, people say, thank you. Thank you.
Now, what are the biggest mistakes you see people making with their health?
You say mistakes, was it?
Yes. What are the biggest mistakes you see people
making? Well, I'd say trying not to die is a big mistake. Enjoying living will give you a longer life. And again, it's not hard to die when you're ready. We have a lot of power over life and death. I mean, I keep thinking, my father said to my mother, I need to get out of here. And she said to me, help your daddy out of his bed. I said, Ma, he's talking about his body. So she said to him, when do you want to die? We'll have a big party and then you can go. And he picked Sunday and was in the hospital. And everybody was told to come and say goodbye to Grandpa. He didn't die till the last grandchild came into the room. And there's no way he could know who was coming. Mm-hmm. Okay? And nobody left that room without feeling good. I mean, you know, not, oh, that death, it's terrible, it's horrible, it's scary. He looked so healthy when he died. He looked like a different person that the kids, especially in the room, the grandchildren, couldn't believe it. They came to me and said, is that what dying is like? Because it was such a beautiful experience. When the last person coming walks in the room, he takes a breath, says goodbye, and leaves. And they saw his spirit leaving. That was another thing that, you know, makes me a believer. I'm at religious services. I noticed the door to the synagogue was opened by someone, and this little cloud came in, like the size of a pillow on your bed. And I thought, wow, what's that? and it flew up to me. And I heard my mother-in-law say, "Goodbye, Bernie." Mm. And it flew out of the synagogue. So I jumped up, got in my car, drove right to the nursing home she'd been in. I walk in the door. What does a nurse say when she sees me? "Oh, you've heard." I said, "I didn't hear. I knew that my mother-in-law came and said goodbye." And I cannot deny those experiences, you know. And so I'd say again that death is not the worst outcome, you know, because you're not missing parts anymore. You're not in pain. And so, again, when you get tired of your body, it's okay to say goodbye. And it's not a failure to die. My mother, one of my biggest fans, because she developed leukemia and she couldn't die because her son is teaching people how to live. She was amazing. Her doctors couldn't get over her, you know, because she just went on living and teaching them what they needed to teach other patients. But when she got ready and was tired, fine. But I knew she would never die with me in the room, because that would be, I'm failing him. So I told the other physicians, "Look, I'm going to leave the room every couple of hours. Don't think I'm a son without feelings. I got to do it for my mother." Sure enough, that afternoon I came back and they said, "Your mom died."
Now, Bernie Siegel, many of us.
One more example, because she was such a a fan of mine. Thich Nhat Hanh wrote an article about meditation and temple bells in Buddhist countries, and how if you're out in the street and you hear the bells ringing, you stop and you breathe peace. He said, "You come to the United States, what do you hear? Horns, noise, people yelling." And I thought, he's right. And he said, "Yeah, you got to make a temple bell for yourself out of some sound." And the one that really I thought would work perfectly was a telephone, because we're still getting all these stupid robocalls, you know, about buying this and Medicare and COVID vaccine, everything goes on and on. The phone rings all day long. And I thought, okay, from now on, when the phone rings, I'm not going to grab it and answer it. I'm going to breathe peace for five rings.
Now, Bernie Siegel.
Wait a minute. Let me tell you this. And I realize it does work. Because when you hear the first ring, you don't get, "Oh, God damn it, I got to know." But I call my mother regularly and she didn't answer the phone. And I got really nervous. And finally, I hear my mother say, "Hello." I say, "Ma, what is it? Why didn't you answer the phone?" "I'm doing what you tell people to do. I'm breathing peace." That was my mother. I said, "Ma, that's for other people. You grab the phone so I don't get nervous when I call you." But she was a wonderful soul. And boy, did she outlive everything every doctor expected.
So Bernie Siegel, final question. Many of us know we have a soul, but don't have much of a spiritual connection. What do you think helps us the most in awakening to our unlimited potential as a soul?
You have to have the right Lord and faith in your Lord. This really happened to me. It was almost like a trance. I was flying cross country alone on the plane, but without my wife. And I went into a trance and I saw myself with a sword as a knight in Ireland. And my Lord said to me, "I want you to kill the neighbor's daughter to teach him a lesson. He's making a wreck out of our property." I said, "Let me kill him." "No, I want you to kill the daughter." "And what if I don't?" "I'll kill you." So I went and I killed her. And you know who she was? My wife. I walked into her room in the castle at night. And there she was, my wife. And I chopped her head off. And I killed her dog because I was afraid he was going to attack me. And I cried for hours and hours and hours. And I went for therapy because it was just too much. I go into this Jungian therapist, well-known fella, and I sit down. I said, my Lord asked me to kill the neighbor's daughter. He said, did you hear what you said? I said, what do you mean? Your Lord. I said, yeah, Lord of the castle. No, Bernie, it's your Lord. I said, wow. I always questioned Abraham and Jesus and how they could go through what they went through when their Lord asked them to kill this, you know, Abraham killed his son, have his son killed, and Jesus remains on the cross. If he can perform miracles, why didn't he jump off? That was literally one of my fantasies. If I were Jesus, I would have jumped off the cross and said, now do you see what I can do? Pay attention. Yeah. And it was such a lesson for me, your Lord. So he said, go relive this. The Lord said again, I want you to kill the neighbor's daughter. I said, all right, I'm going. No, Bernie, I needed to know you had faith in me. Bring them here. Let us settle this problem.
And with that,
and wait, let me say, what was the solution? To marry the young woman, have the property that they were fighting over given to us as a wedding present, and we're all one family now. And that was my wife. And I knew that, see, again, because there are no coincidences. I take a job in a summer camp. Who's working in charge of the girls? My wife. I'm with the boys. We're standing at a pool watching the kids so they don't drown. And I said to her, because I didn't know her really, I said, you know, it's nice. They keep the pool open at night. So if it's really hot outside, because we didn't have all the air conditioning then, we could come over and take a swim. And she said,
You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. We have been listening to the one and only Bernie Siegel, and we could listen to him for a very long time.
One more line. My wife said to me, are you asking me for a date? Because I talked about the pool, and I said yes, and we ended up getting married.
That's so sweet. This is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me at catherinekerrigan.com and unlimitedenergynow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter so you can learn even more about how you can heal yourself naturally. Our guest today has been Bernie Siegel. Find out more about him at berniesiegelmd.com. And remember, love yourself and healing follows. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.